So I don't know about the impersonation thing. I have to learn a lot, but I'm getting better at that. So we'll see. So I have been here a couple of times, and always it was a winter time. And this is my first time in Spokane area during the spring. So I had an opportunity to do things I haven't before. So one of the things is I have been able to see the falls you have downtown, and it's beautiful. It's very nice. And another thing I have done was that I have run with Pastor Ben yesterday morning. And I don't see the picture in here in the iPad, so I'm not sure if it's, yeah. So Pastor Ben was so kind to take me for a run. And you need to know that I'm not a runner. That was my first run after many years because I'm a mountain biker. We have beautiful mountains in Slovakia, so I ride a bike a lot, but I don't run. So let's say Pastor Ben really enjoyed the run and I survived the run. Yes, but he was so kind to slow down for me. And also, this is a picture. The next one. Okay, the picture you might know, it's a picture of our family. So for some of you, this is the third time you see the picture of my family. But what changes is that we grow and our kids grow. And that's my wife, Jana, and my son on the right, it's son Edward. He's going to be 12 tomorrow. So we're entering the teenage years slowly. So that's a prayer request right there for us. And then our daughter, Christina, she's 9. And that's a great age because I'm still the hero. So, and my wife, Jana, she's a teacher of English. And I have to really behave with my English, like Slovak English, because she will watch the stream and judge me. She's very kind. She's very kind. And she teaches English at a high school. And that high school is designed for future professional athletes and sports players. So her students are future football players. And I'm in the real football. You play with your foot. You call it soccer, but we call it football. And but both are great, the American football and the soccer. And her students will be ice hockey players, volleyball, basketball, horseback riders, all kinds of sports. And that's a very special privilege she has to be their teacher. As you can see, the weather in Slovakia in summer can get very warm, in winter very cold. So the white space behind us is a frozen lake. So if you come into Slovakia anytime, in the wintertime, I can take you skiing, snowboarding, ice skating, and all the winter sports we do. Location of Slovakia is somewhere in Europe. I will show you where, but maybe you're aware of the Russian and Ukraine and their location, which their strategy, tragedy happening right now in Ukraine. So it has made the news for last 2 or 3 years. And Slovakia is located right next to Ukraine. So the red, small piece of land with 5.5 million of people, very small, is right next to Ukraine. And we are heavily influenced by everything that is happening over there. But also, Slovakia is post-Soviet country and post-Christian country. If you are a part of Europe, you are, by definition, post-Christian. That's one of the things we are exporting to the world, our post-Christianity, unfortunately. So we have the philosophers and influencers and all this environment of post-Christianism where people think they know everything about Christianity and refuse what the Christianity offers. And we are also post-Soviet nation. And the Soviet regime had its own goal to eradicate the church and the faith. So that's what they have been doing in our country for the whole generation of my father and mom, for a generation of our parents. So there was a census in Slovakia just recently, and this is the result. Less than 70% of our country claimed to be Christian, which was a bigger number before, less than 70%. But one of my nerdy friends made the math, and he told me that according to his numbers, Less than 0.5% of people in Slovakia are Christ followers. So out of the 5.5 million people, only this percentage of people would actually be living their faith out and not just be nominal, like cultural Christians. And my nerdy friend asked me a question, Janči, do you know how long would it take to get to 1% from 0.5 to 1% at the current rate of the growth of the church? And the number is 2040 years. So it's not, I wish it was in 2040. No, it's 2040 years, meaning in 4060, roughly. And that's the environment we are part of, post-Christian, post-Soviet environment. Angry about Christians or just skeptical about the whole thing. A little bit spiritual. Many Slovaks believe the multiverse or reincarnation or all kinds of spiritual answers they have, but they are skeptical towards Christianity. And there are also the stories that are being told in our culture. Every culture has its own stories, and I will share with you two of those. Hopefully, okay. The best way to observe, or the best place where you can observe the stories of the culture, is the book written for children, books written for children, because children are born into this world without knowing anything about this world. So we teach them, we make them learn about the ways of the world and how it works, and mostly through the children's stories. So I will share a bits and pieces from both books. The book on the left is a new one, recently written by the German author, translated to many languages in Europe, including the Slovak language. So that would be the book read by the generation of my children. And the book on the right was written 1974, but it was also written earlier, so it's the published 1974. It was written for the generation of my parents. And you would be surprised what our children and my parents read as kids. So the book on the left tells the story of three friends, penguins, and the book discusses, among other things, the concept of God. And this is how God is introduced to children. So a couple of quotes. The first quote, "He made up a bunch of rules and can be quite unpleasant when someone doesn't follow them." So just imagine, you're a kid, you're 4 or 5 or 6 years old, and your parents take this book and read from that book as your bedtime story. Another quote from the same book, "God won't be too thrilled about this." Or, "God has an excellent memory and never forgets to punish a penguin who didn't stick to the rules." Can you imagine? It's possible that when God was creating this land, nothing special came to his mind. But when it comes to inventing punishments, he has an incredibly wild imagination. So, what do you think about this? Just the fact the book was translated from German language to Slovak language means it has a market in Slovakia. Somebody's reading the book, actually. And I learned about this book by the word of mouth. Somebody just came to me and gave me the book and thought, "You should read this, it's interesting." Then I opened the book and I was horrified. And another book, the book from the generation of my parents, I read it as well when I was a kid. I found it somewhere in a library. And I don't remember a thing from the book, but I remember this short story I will read you. And I remember the story because I was really angry as a child about the story when I read it. And that's how it works with our brains. We remember the things that ignite the emotions in us. So this made me angry because it's plainly not true, but I will read that to you. It was translated by ChatGPT, so if something doesn't make sense to you, I'm not one to blame. I'm just a messenger. "I love my grandma very much, but I don't want to pray. I beat the dust out of her carpet. I even go to the dairy for her, but I haven't wanted to pray since the third grade. When I was little, I believed everything my grandma told me. I still believe her now because no one should think that my grandma lies or makes things up. But back then, I used to pray and now I don't. Even when I was little and my grandma put me to bed, sometimes I didn't want to pray. So she would scare me saying that if I didn't pray at night, I would die by morning and God would be angry with me. She scared me because I was sometimes lazy. What else was she supposed to do? But I was afraid and I didn't want to die because it was much better to stay in bed. So I prayed. Later, she didn't even have to scare me anymore. I prayed every time and always. Sometimes I skipped the middle part, but then I went back to make sure I had done it right. In the third grade, my dad promised to buy me ski boots, but he only got me regular ones, and I felt very, very sad because Michael got the real ski boots. He had them and I didn't. That night, I went to bed and deliberately didn't pray because I wanted to die by the morning. I couldn't fall asleep for a long time, imagining myself dead in the morning. My dad wouldn't go to work. My mom wouldn't either. They would just cry over me and regret not getting me the ski boots. But by then, it would be too late because I would be dead. And that would be the end of it. So I laid there for a long time, unable to sleep, even crying about myself, but I still didn't start praying. Then I fell asleep forever. When I woke up in the morning, I was really surprised that I wasn't dead but alive. That's when I realized that prayer doesn't work the way I thought. It works differently. Since then, I haven't wanted to pray because I know it doesn't help. But I still love my grandma. So that were the stories told to the generation of my father by the regime, that the prayer, God, Christianity is just a tool of manipulation. Simple people believe it because they're manipulated to a certain behavior. So that's the environment we're living in, and that's the environment that needs gospel. And we truly believe that one of the great and maybe one of the best strategies of evangelism is planting new churches, planting the communities of Christians to the dark world, and those Christians can live out the gospel and bring the truth. So that's one of the reasons why we called our church. Okay, now the video. No. Okay. Somehow it skips over one slide. Yeah, thank you. So our church is called Zakostolom, which translates church behind the church building. And it sounds much better in Slovak. Yeah, it's Zakostolom. And it reminds us two things. The first is that we are here for the people who are not in the churches yet. And they're spending their lives behind the churches. So that's this image I have in my head. Whenever you go through our town on Sunday morning, you can see people in the Catholic churches. We have 17 of Catholic churches in Žilina, roughly 17. And the moms, grandparents and children are in the churches, and often the fathers are behind the churches waiting for the mass to end, and then they would take their families home. So there are so many people that are so close and yet so far away from the church. So the name reminds us that we want to be here not only for Christians but for people who are so close but at the same time so far away from the gospel. And also it reminds us the second thing, that the church is not only the thing that's happening inside of the church walls, but also outside of the church walls throughout the week. And there's a video I would like to show you because I can describe how our church feels like and looks like, but the video does a better job. So it's a short 1.5 minute presentation. So I hope it will work. Thank you. So in the video, you could see the place where we meet at, and you have been a great help in a season when we were remodeling the space. It's a former theater, and we have remodeled it in a way you have seen on the pictures. So thank you for your help. It would be practically impossible to do it without you. So our church is located in a northwestish part of Slovakia. It's part of a denomination which is called Free Evangelical Church. Basically, it's something similar to that. And we are pretty alone up there in the north. In this area, there are no churches like we have, like our type of churches. So that's the area we focus on and serve. And our prayer is that people would have their own church on all four directions from the Žilina, the north, east, west, and south, the news. And currently, many people have to drive to our church for like 30, 45, 60, 75 minutes, which in our environment is very unusual. Usually people have their own church in a walking distance, within a walking distance from their home. So the fact that they travel so far away means something, and we pray that they would have their own communities in the future around us. But it's a long journey, very long journey. The way the church dynamics works in our context is different. It takes a decade until you have a like seasoned church. It's a really long-term dedication. Also, what works for us is our online presence, and we have a podcast that we do with my colleague and friend Jose, that is pastoring the church replanted by my father, the church that planted our church. So Jose is actually from Spain, and he learned Slovak very fast. He's the language nerd. He can speak Spanish, Slovak, Czech, English, Greek, Latin, Hebrew. He's like language nerd. And what actually made him stay in Slovakia is when he found out we have a free education. So he stayed at our university and learned Slovak and studied theology in Slovak language. But that's another story to be told. And we find out that many people hesitate to join a worship service of a Protestant church, but they have no problem listening to our podcasts. So we as the two pastors have been consistently for a season of six years, recording podcasts every Monday morning and releasing 1 hour recording with no editing. It's just two of us having the microphone, speaking about life and Bible and gospel and putting that online. Initially, we thought it will be listened to only by 10 or 20 our friends, and it ended up being the national thing, and we got some kind of a prize for the most popular Christian podcast. So you never know who's listening to you, but it's a great tool, the online presence. The thing you see on a picture is one of the great protests that are happening in Slovakia these days. Tens of thousands of people are up in the streets on many, I don't know, maybe 30 locations in Slovakia and protesting. Why? The previous year was very complicated. We had three elections happening: the presidential election, the government election, and the European Parliament election. And the whole thing became super toxic in Slovakia. People are politically polarized, the friendships have been destroyed, like families are being torn apart, like people are unable to communicate normally about the politics. Very similar in a way what was happening in here. President Trump was almost shot a year ago. So was our prime minister. Our prime minister was actually hit by the bullet, and he survived. And this whole thing didn't help to things what are happening in Slovakia. And as a result of this political polarization in the country, we have these protests that are happening every week for months, every week, every Friday or Thursday evening. And it's become almost religious. It's like a church. Like, people meet there, they check on you whether you are going or not. They try to convince you to come. You meet there regularly every, let's say, Friday at 5. You have some bands playing there, almost like a worship. Then you have some people speaking something, almost like a sermon. It And it creates emotions, either hopefulness or hopelessness. It goes both ways. And the thing that we got stuck in Slovakia, and also people inside of church are stuck in the same thing, is something that we could call politicism. Anytime you add ism at the end of something, it's ideology. It's something that is sometimes in contradiction to Christianity or God. And it's okay to be political. Not only okay, it's actually necessary, because we are living in a democratic society where people should care about the country and about the elections, and should have opinions and speak their opinions out loud. That's when you are political. But being faithful to a politicism means that you actually believe the politics will bring the heaven on earth. And that's where we are stuck in Slovakia. If everything goes well with the politics, we are super hopeful and we expect heaven coming to earth. And when everything doesn't go well with the politics, then we are super skeptical and depressed. And unfortunately, even inside of church, people are influenced by politicism. Many people think about leaving country. They don't see the reason why they should stay, because it's pretty easy. We have a European economic like the deal, the EU, and it's easy just to stand up, to move to Germany or France or wherever, and just live over there. And this is where we are. We are in a place where church needs to be challenged with the question: are you stuck in Slovakia, or are you sent to be living in Slovakia? And I believe we are sent to be living in Slovakia. Maybe some are sent to move. Of course, it's okay. Someone is sent to move, to be moved. But we as a church in Slovakia need to be there and be present in Slovakia with the conviction that Father God wants us to be there, and we have a purpose of our stay. We're in a country that is in a deep spiritual hunger, but at the same time, it's finding the answers on all the wrong places. So there's another picture to show. It's the same spot. There was a power outage. I don't know, maybe they put the amplifiers too loud, and there was no electricity for a while, so people grabbed their phones and made the light. And the picture is amazing. Tens of thousands of people with their phones making this light. And it's also symbolic. There's a metaphor in this picture. We need light. And people in Slovakia are living in a darkness. And the only light they can use is the light they have in their pockets, something they just grabbed somehow throughout the life, and that's what they use as their source of life. But it's not enough. And you know how we know it's not enough? By the fruits of this light we have. It's really bad. So the question is, where is the light? Where is the light? Who is the light? And the correct answer in the church always is Jesus. And we have this joke in Slovakia that when you have a group of kids in a church and you ask them, hey kids, what's this thing? You know, there's a tree and there's something brownish and hairy hanging from the tree. What's that? And the children would reply, well, we think it's a squirrel, but we bet it's Jesus. So Jesus is always the answer. And so is here. Like, where is the light? Jesus is the light. Like, Jesus is the light of the world. But at the same time, it's not the complete answer. Because Jesus himself said this: in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus at some point turns to people and say, you are the light of the world. That's a powerful thing. The light of the world says to us, you are the light of the world. So I will share a brief piece of history. When you track the history of our church in Slovakia, you can track that to Moravian Church and Moravian Brothers, Unity of the Brethren, which was one of the first Protestant churches worldwide. Most probably, if you track the history of your church or your congregation and all the affiliations you have, at some point you will trace that back to the Moravian church and Moravian brothers and the unity of brethren. And we're so lucky to be living in a space where this happened. It's the current Czech Republic, which is our neighbor. And I will read something that the historian Joseph Edmund Hutton wrote about that church. It was the year 1464. Above all, and here's the picture, so you can imagine how it was. Above all, we commit ourselves to unity of faith in Jesus Christ. We will rest in the righteousness and love of God. We will trust in the living God. We will do good works. We will serve one another in the spirit of love. We will lead a virtuous, humble, gentle, sober, and pure life. And through this, we will be assured that we are holding to the true faith and that a home in heaven is being prepared for us. Hutton continues, in every detail of life, in business, civil society, and family, they held to the Sermon on the Mount. What made the unity of the brethren shine brightly, like a city on a hill, was not their doctrines, but their lives. Not their theory, but their practice. Not their opinions, but their discipline. Great reformers such as Luther and Calvin spoke about these people of the unity of the brethren, saying they were a jewel in a crown of the church. So the sermon of Jesus created such a culture in the church of that people that the people around them saw their good deeds and glorified the Father who is in heaven. And I believe this is what we are called to do in Slovakia, to be not only speaking about the gospel, but living out the gospel. So three more short stories. This guy with the beard, he's a famous Czech psychologist and a priest. And I read his book, and by the way, I met him in person. He's a really nice guy. And I read his book about his search for faith because he was raised up atheist. And the breakthrough happened when he was a young boy and he spent his summertime with his grandparents. And as a part of the summertime, he somehow found his way to a local church and he was talking to a priest. And he never met priest before. And only ideas he had about the priest were the cultural presumptions, like the funny thing about the priest. And he was shocked by the meeting. The priest didn't try to convince him about anything. The priest was just asking about music, arts, about his plans, about the future, about school. And he was really shocked that this guy didn't try to convince him, but was interested in his life. He was so excited about this priest that he came back next day again and then again and then again. And he spent all the summer visiting this priest. At some point, he had this revelation and he put it in a sentence. If this is a servant of God, what must God be like? So that was his question. If this is a servant of God, like this great man interested in me, what must God be like? And since then, since that point, he began to have a different kind of questions, different set of questions that were spiritual. And this priest helped him to cross the line towards God somehow in life. And I like the story because it's both. It's something we must say and share and tell the world around us. But again, it's also the way we live it out in our practical lives. So there are two stories from our church. The first one is a story of this guy. That was the funniest baptism ever we had. This guy, he owns the bees, the hive. He creates the honey. And he's very natural type of guy, like he loves the nature. And my name in Slovak is Jan, which is practically John. Nobody calls me that. Everyone calls me Anči, but I'm a John. And when he came to the baptism, he told me, you're going to baptize me, so you're the John the Baptizer. So I have something for you. And he brought the honey, and he brought the bucket of dried crickets. And he made me to eat it somehow. And he said, now it's like biblical, the whole baptism. But what happened is that you can see there are children around the place. One of the kids hit the bucket, and all the crickets went into the air and fell into the water. And then we had to clean the thing. And then his wife was getting baptized as well, and she didn't want to enter the place. Ah, that was very fun. And her mom was cracking up in the back, and she was really laughing out loud. In a good way, I mean, she's a believer. So that was a very special moment, very human, I mean, human way of going through things. But this guy, when he first entered our church, he came there only because his girlfriend wanted to come to the church. And he told me, you know, I am not a believer. I was not raised a believer. But I respect my wife, future wife, girlfriend, and she wants to come to your church, so that's the reason I'm here. And we had a ton of conversation throughout the years. And then at some point, I just got a voicemail from him. He was working somewhere else, not in Slovakia, he was in Austria. And in the middle of the night, I got a voicemail from him, and he said, "You won't believe what just happened. I have experienced a God moment, and I know God exists. And I know not only that God exists, but I can see how he was present in my life for years. And I was blind to that, and now I can see that. So would you please baptize me when I come home?" So, and 6 months later, this happened. And that's a special moment, because that's the place where I realized that God is chasing after his people, and he's bringing them back home. And it's not my work, it's God's work happening in his life. But at the same time, this guy testified that our church made a difference, because we communicated the gospel clearly, and we communicated the Bible truth in a way he didn't understand before. So that's how gospel needs to be told, in a clear way. But at the same time, there's another story I will tell you and share, and I don't have a picture for that. But I do quite a number of weddings, and as I was doing a premarital counseling for one couple, I invited them to spend an evening with my family. So they had a dinner with us, and then they were part of our evening ritual where we pray with our kids and send them to sleep. So here was the couple, and here were we as a family. We called our kids to join us. I prayed, my wife prayed, our kids prayed. Then we kissed goodnight, and they went to sleep. And all of a sudden, the lady started to cry, and you could see the tears rolling on her face. And she said that she never experienced something like this. Her family claims to be Christian, and she said that they're Christians only on Sundays, but they're not living like Christians throughout the week. And they're angry at each other, they're fighting with each other, and then they come to the church and pretend everything is okay. And she said that she would like to have family living like that, like living the Christianity throughout the week as well. And ever since this couple started to visit our church, ever since this evening. And that's a great reminder that yes, we need to speak about the gospel, but we also need to live it out in a way that shines through the darkness, where people can see that this actually makes sense. This actually is a great way of living. So the truth is that every story of faith has someone's name attached to it. So if you think about your own story of faith, there is a name attached to it. Someone who showed or told you something. And that's what Jesus means when he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And that's the greatest challenge we have in Slovakia. We are living in a very complicated political situation. And church needs to shine. Church needs to be the place where we show what the real hope is, what the true peace is, where we can find it. And not just preach about it, which is very important, but also actually live it out. So if you pray, pray for us, please, that we would be faithful in this. And I also want to encourage you that every single of you, as you sit here, I pray that your name would be part of someone else's story of faith. It can be a simple thing, maybe like the story from a road trip, as we heard today, or it can be a big thing. You never know, but I pray that even you would be a name in a story of someone else's faith. So this is a greeting from our church. We had a trip to our mountains. If you want to have this picture, it's printed out. You can put it on your freezer and pray for us. From the other side, there's a picture of our family. You can pray for us as well. And I think these cards are to be found on a counter in the hallway. There's also email address, my email address. If you want, you can get our newsletters and you can pray for us in very practical ways. Don't worry, I don't send them too often, only from time to time, so you won't be spammed by my emails. So thank you that you pray for us, you are with us, because this is also the way how your church is shining the light in Slovakia together with us. So thank you for that. And I will pray. Dear God, thank you so much for you being the light to our dark world. Thank you that through your grace and mercy, we could find this source of light. And please make us be faithful in bearing this light to wherever we need to bear it and wherever you send us. And it needs a lot of creativity and understanding of life and circumstances, and sometimes we are blind to that. So I pray for your spirit that it would lead us, teach us, and encourage us as we do so. Amen.